This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Lynn likes the open floor. Spinning. Puts it up and banks it in. Yes. Sensational play for Jeremy Lin.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Linsanity continues here in Madison Square Garden.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
The is they want to be down with the crowd.
T and Sal back on The Fan. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show. Hey, with the top story, time for the crowd. The top story is things are changing. Things are changing, Sal. We have to interrupt this negative flow of energy here. Get that mojo back because we went from on top of the world having big dreams, Stanley Cup dreams about these Rangers. Now, who knows where we were allowing our minds to wander with these Knicks. Maybe mess around, especially after the Cavaliers took that second game in Boston. Well,
yeah, I know.
Maybe got something brewing out there.
Was Knicks that the high point of the season?
You know what? In hindsight, it very well might be, because right now it seems very, very different. Now, the Rangers have an incredible amount of talent. Nobody's doubted this year. Now we got a little bit of a character check on the New York Rangers going into Game 6 in Carolina on Thursday. The Knicks, in a lot of ways, are the complete opposite. What's gotten them here? Obviously, Brunson and great play from him, but and good coaching, but character and toughness and resolve and all those other things that make us love this team. And it's got to be on full display tonight. But it is amazing, and it's jarring how it's gone from we are rolling to we're kind of getting rolled all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's after last week, win. This week, it's loss. I can't take it anymore. All these losses, and the Knicks tonight have to stop the bleeding, and they have to do it not obviously just to stop the streak here of losses between them and the Rangers, but for their season. Man, the Knicks' season will be on the line tonight as far as their season being defined by this Game 5. How resilient are they? How tough are they? Will the superstar show up? I think the Rangers ultimately will be okay. This is really, BT, the first time. Think about it. We're 2 rounds in. Midway through the second rounds now, getting toward the end of the second round of the postseason, and it's the first time that we felt it with either team, real angst.
Yeah.
Real, starting with the Knicks tonight, Rangers will worry about that Game 6 on Thursday, but after their loss last night, of course, this is the first time they've dealt with real adversity here. Knicks did it a little bit with the Sixers series, but not really. I mean, they were up 3-1. They did what they had to do in Game 4 to take control of that series. You know, and they went there and took care of business in Game 6. You look at what the Knicks could do tonight. This is, even if they win tonight, I think the feeling, like the gut feeling is, they're probably not going to get a win in Indiana. Most likely it's going to come back for a Game 7. So it's a weird spot. We're in a unique spot for this season between the Knicks and Rangers where it was all forward, you know, downhill momentum. Now it's a little bit of an uphill battle here starting with the Knicks tonight.
Give me a broad estimate. And I know it's a general rough parameter, and we could both be wildly off. I'll give you mine as well, but I want you to go first. So what do you think percentage-wise of Knicks fans going into the Philadelphia 76 series did you think, you know, from a Knicks fan perspective, would win the series? Give me a number.
I'll say 80.
It was pretty high.
Yeah,
it was
higher?
Maybe slightly.
I'm going to try not to overreact to some of this idiotic stuff I see on social media. Like, you don't want that to be a barometer.
No, I got you.
I think most fans are level-headed, but I still think that it was a high amount that felt pretty good. I mean,
yeah.
Maybe 75, but I do think it was up there.
Yeah, no, I think you're in the neighborhood. So what percentage of Knicks fans do you think this morning, right now, now the afternoon, think they're going to win the series?
Well, by the way, you could even rewind a little bit. If it were 80 before the Sixers series, what do you think that it was going into the Pacers series?
Well, what do you think it was going into game three of the Pacers series up to zip?
Well, I mean, then the injury started to happen, though, anyway.
Let me answer your first. What do I think going into the Pacers? It was higher.
Yeah, right.
Approaching 90%.
That's exactly right. I was going to say even higher, maybe.
But, hold on now. What was I telling you?
Yeah, I know.
I was warning you guys, be careful. This team's a little soft, but they're good.
Even before game two, and then the injuries started to happen. All right, so we agree that it was, whatever, 75-80 going in the Sixers series, significantly higher going into this Pacers series.
Yes. Right now 40? 50?
I think it's probably 55%. I'm going to go a little over 50.
Okay.
You get that feel, or you think less?
No, I don't think it's significantly less. I do think that there's... See, I think that there's... It's always hard to do this, which is why there's really no right answer. Like, you could take 10% of the fatalists who are like, no matter what we do, we're going to lose.
Right.
Take 10% of the dopes who think no matter what happens, there's no way we can lose. The answer is generally within the other 80%.
Right.
And I think within that 80%, I think a lot of people are worried like I am. Like, it's not blind faith. It's not giving up. It's complete love for this team. Just massive respect. But I think I think that the reality of the situation is starting to creep in, and there's only so many bodies.
Right. So I'm going to tell you the why I have a legit reason to be positive and believing. And it's more than just internal optimism and blind faith in this team. I saw Jalen Brunson come back in the second half of game two. After dealing with the foot injury, he came back in game two, and the second half performed like, not initially, but eventually got to the level where he performed like the Jalen Brunson that we came to love and know throughout the course of the regular season and in the postseason for the majority of time. Game three, on the road, without Anunoby, the Knicks still had a legitimate chance to win that game. As a matter of fact, I'm thinking the majority of that game down the stretch, oh my God, they're going to win this game.
So did I.
Like, I felt like, and we knew going in, like, I knew that the Knicks were going to lose a game. We figured that it would come game three. Usually that's what happened. You go up 2-0, you have a bad game, game three, then game four is the swing game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turned out game three was, in fact, the swing game in this particular series, and it could have easily gone the Knicks' way. And then game four was just a disaster. I think the combination of injury and result on not only game three, but more specifically game four, the blowout, all of the above gives a more difficult feel going in tonight to tonight. But if you erase the disaster in game four, and that is what I'm choosing to do, erase that for one bad off. They just didn't have it. Nobody had it. And go more of game two, second half, and game three, because that's all we have to go off of as far as Brunson and his health. I do have reason to believe tonight, even without Anunoby, even with Brunson being somewhat compromised, I still think it's going to be enough to beat the Pacers.
I got one more really quick one for you. All right. So, and I'm not talking about like the nuances of a pick and roll defense.
Yeah,
none of that stuff. None of coach talk here. But if you were Tom Thibodeau, because we always do talk about adjustments, right? If you're Tibbs going into this game, what's one thing like on a broad surface that you might look to change or a button you might push that he's yet to hit?
Hmm.
Anything jump out? I don't know if there is, because there's only so many bodies to go around.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about playing matchmaker as far as who's going to be the defensive matchups. I know they got to get
better
defensively.
Well, Patty said start McBride. I mean,
yeah,
something like that.
I'm
not doing that yet
do
either.
That.
Anything else?
I would not do that. I just think defensively they got, I mean, you know, again, I said initially during the beginning of the series with a healthy Anunoby that I'd like to see Achiuwa on Siakam and maybe have Anunoby on Halliburton. Well, obviously that can't happen now,
mm-hmm.
and nobody seems to be able to stop Siakam. So the Knicks don't have the size that they had, you know, with Mitchell Robinson in there. They don't have they're without their two best defensive players, with Anunoby
yes.
and Mitchell Robinson. So my biggest concern would be that defensively. Offense, it is what it is. It's been that way all along. There's no more buttons they could push. Like, they're limited. Mm-hmm. Alec Burks coming off the bench. All right, fine. But what's he going to do? Provide a little bit of bench scoring?
Yeah.
Okay. They're going to need that. I don't know. You have something that you would do?
No. And the fact that I don't is kind of the answer. That's kind of why I did it. Like, just goes back to Jalen.
Maybe the answer is to just go small and say, hey, you know what? We can't do it the way that we would like to have done it. Why not just try to run with them in our building and have Deuce, you know, maybe be more impactful than Achua's minutes? And maybe that is the right answer.
I don't want to worry anybody else further here, but I am very curious to see what Hartenstein's shoulder looks like tonight. That has
been
completely ignored and glossed over. I don't know if it's right.
I know
we'll find out.
I know he's important. I also don't think he's the key.
But he's got to play 35 minutes. He's a great passer. Oh, I think he. I don't think that if they don't have Hartenstein, and I know he's going to play.
Yeah,
I know. Sim's not going to play 35 minutes, but
no, but still, like,
dude, Hartenstein. I mean, he gives you 4 or 5 layups a night. He's an outstanding passer,
and I know that he's been more of a backup center. But the reality is, BT, he was their backup center. It's like, at some point, you're just going to run out of players at a cable. I think we're getting to that point.
And we're getting there. I think people just, you know, Jericho Sims. Just because he looks the part doesn't mean he could play.
Well,
he's got a good body. He's big. Right. He could jump. But does he do anything?
Well, one thing.
Not really.
I would like to see him. Here's my answer. I want to see more of an effort defensively in the paint. It should be no excuse for Jericho Sims. Like, if he's going to do anything on the floor.
Put somebody on their ass.
Well, if he's going to do anything on the floor, wouldn't it be protecting the paint a little bit?
Yeah.
He's not an offensive guy.
Mm-mm.
He's not fast. He's not versatile. So what does he do? Finish around the rim? That's great. Can you protect the rim? At his size, he better.
Mm.
So maybe more, you know, a bigger body in the paint, or at least have him a bigger presence in the paint.
All right. Back to you, Mike Clifton Park with BT and Sound. Mike, what's happening?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great show. So
listen, the Knicks, I think their season is defined already. You know, I mean, they had a great season, and I'm not saying they're going to lose, but I mean, they lost two starters in this series. Bogey's out. They're leaving their guts out there. So there's nothing more that I can expect from them. They weren't going to win a finals this year. They have a good core moving forward. And the Pacers, they are frauds. Even if they win, they didn't have to face the Greek Freak. We were down three starters, so I don't, you know, they are frauds to me. And I'm just hoping.
Yeah, I don't think they're that good. You know, it's part of the reason, Mike. I don't think the Pacers are that good.
Thanks,
it's part of the reason why I believe in the Knicks. And I said that even after Anunoby. I still think the Knicks are going to win in five. I thought they'd figure out a way to get a win and then close it out here. But there now obviously are high levels of concern, seeing what the Pacers did in those two games and seeing where the Knicks are at as far as being ravaged by injury. But I'm not ready to write the
obituary for the Knicks here.
I'm not writing an obit today.
No, I'll never do it until they're actually in the ground. They've earned that respect here. Now, listen, one of the fundamental differences with me and Sal as we look at this series is that I really do think the Pacers are really talented. Like, if you're starting a franchise tomorrow, all right, Halliburton's not the first choice at point guard, but you're going to get his name early. Siakam's a champion in his prime.
Yeah.
You know, with Toronto, like, I know he's banging some free throws off the back rim, but he's a star. He's a borderline star. He's a real, let me tell you, he's a really good player. And then Miles Turner. I mean,
he's a good player.
He's a big who could shoot. And you've got 3 or 4 role players. Isaiah Jackson. Like, we know the names. Obviously, McConnell. They're well-built. They're young. They're athletic. And they present some diverse problems. Like, they could play. I know stylistically how they play. But they've got, and that's fast. But there's a couple of guys that can really beat you. I think that they've got more guys that can beat you than the Knicks have.
See,
I do.
I would say, this could be a fun one, who do you think would win in the series, Sixers or Pacers?
The Sixers or nobody would stop Embiid.
That's what I'm saying. So in my mind, like, we've gone into the series differently. I thought the Sixers were much more dangerous. And that's kind of why I'm like, oh, the Pacers, again, Knicks injuries aside, I look at the Pacers and say, like, yeah, well, they got some guys that could shoot, of course, but I'm not worried about it. Where I was worried about Embiid and Maxey. So I can't. Yeah, the Pacers have some players and some role players that could step up and knock down some shots on occasion. I'm not scared of Obi Toppin. I'm not scared of McConnell. I feel like somebody's got to put an elbow in his face and stop him from getting to the. I mean, you and I can make those shots. He's getting.
McConnell always gets this guy worked up.
We might not be able to get to the rim the way he does.
No.
But, I mean, who can hit the layups like that? Like, you're right there. Somebody's got to put a body on this guy and stop him from, it makes it so easy for him. Anyway, I was more concerned about the Sixers who I believe were a more talented team. Maybe not as deep, certainly not as deep with the scoring options that the Pacers have. The two totally different teams. Mm-hmm. But I was much more concerned about the Sixers than I am the Pacers. I just think the Pacers, they're going to get lucky, shoot the lights out one night. That's what happened in Game 4. I don't think that's going to happen tonight.
I'm going to keep it to our teams because it just creates too much dialogue here and just pulling things out of left and right field, and who the hell knows what really is true here. But, and I don't want to be overly hyperbolic, but I mean, I could make this, I won't, I could make the statement that there's no team in sports history that's dealt with worse, that's been dealt worse cards than these Knicks. Mm. And but I will keep it specific to our town and our city and our teams. What team? Well, not about ever. Yeah. No, I don't mean in terms of like even Rodgers going down. I know that that's massive. Mm-hmm. Rodgers' injury changed everything last year. But what team that we watch every night has had to deal with what these Knicks have had to deal with? I can't remember one.
Yeah. So, I mean, they lost their second best player, their third best player.
Their first best player, who's one of the three, four, five best players in the NBA, is about 80% right now suddenly.
Three of the starting five are out.
Yeah, 60%.
Of who would be starting five.
See ya.
And they're still in the second round with, you know, tied at 2-2 here going to game five at home.
Now, it feels like it's shifting, but they still, they are, team just doesn't quit. Paul's on Staten Island. What's going on, Paul?
Hey, buddy. Thanks for taking my call. Okay. I really appreciate it.
You got it, Paul.
I'm a diehard Knicks fan. Yep. I was in game two against Philadelphia. Probably the best day of my life. Today, I feel like the world is crashing down on my head. We're all hurt. I feel this team, we could have beat Boston. We could have beat Denver just if, you know, our starting five, Donovanovich was on the bench. You know, I'm a Jet fan. It's just not a good day here for me. Not a good day.
Well, all right. but then what's tomorrow going to be
I called the radio station a couple of days ago. I spoke to the Moose. I said maybe we should have sat Brunson game two.
Oh, come on.
Destroyed me for that. Give him a rest.
Good for Moose. Anyway. You should have gotten destroyed for that. You can't you can't rest Brunson now.
Why can't you rest the guy?
It's a postseason. You got to win every game.
Rest him for what? Beach volleyball? What are you kidding me?
We lost anyway. How can you, no one agrees with me.
You said game two. They did not lose game two.
Yeah, you said game two. They don't think this way, Paul. I think you meant game three.
Why not rest him?
Well, they could have won game three.
But when we were up 40 points, why was he still in the second quarter?
You mean when they were down 40?
Down 40.
Yeah. Well, they did. He did get rest.
He pulled them.
He did get rest in that. Come on, Paul. You want to sit
some wires there with the games.
You want to sit him for game three? The Knicks almost won that game. Imagine sitting Jalen Brunson, who at least can go out there and play for game three.
Stop. You can't do it.
Sit Brunson. I mean, my God.
Did you get over that Diaz malfunction yet?
No.
Would you like the Mets lineup here? No.
I want to talk about that when we come back.
We can.
I got a vent about Diaz and the Mets for a second.
I would hope to hear a little vent. Nemo, Marte, and Lindor, 1, 2, and 3.
Can you see this?
Yeah. Well, I'm reading it.
No. Like, I mean, I could.
Alonzo, Martinez.
Look at how small this print is. Who printed this out?
I did. And I had to finagle it for the last 10 minutes because I couldn't get it on
one
sheet.
Can we get a printer that works around here? I mean, I can't see the computer.
Well, that's what Ryan Hurley's here for. We got all new equipment. New Boston town.
Look at this print. That works. It's minuscule. I need a magnifying glass to see this.
Well, thank God I'm reading it.
Yeah, right.
Beatty, Taylor, Wendell, and Narvaez. Not exactly a strong.
Wendell, Narvaez, Taylor's good.
Yeah,
Beatty, he's come back down to earth.
Beatty's had some very non-competitive at bats lately.
Yeah. Let me vent about the Mets when we come back. Yankees were off last night. We haven't talked a lot of baseball because of the Knicks and Rangers.
Nope.
Last night was so bad that I think it deserves at least a mention before the Mets play. They're playing this afternoon.
I know
obviously.
They are. That's why I gave you the lineup. I'm definitely down to kick around a little baseball, get back to the Knicks stuff as well. Rangers, a no-show last night. 877-337-6666. BT and Sal on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy.
Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Know what we think. What do you think? Call the Fan. 877-337-6666. Powered by AT&T Business.
All right, Jersey Mike's Yankees box office blitz. We got a pair. Field level tickets could hook you up. See the Bombers take on Chicago with the stadium coming up on Sunday, May 19th. So right now, caller number 10, 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. And that is your chance to win here with BT and Sal on the Fan. It's all from Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees box office blitz and the Fan. It is BT and Sal. Make sure you guys listen again tomorrow with us. Another chance to win. 1227 with us here. 877-337-6666. Just a heads up, obviously, with the off day yesterday. The Twins are playing pretty well. Be a nice little test here for the Yankees in Minnesota before coming back to take on those White Sox, who, after a wretched start, they still stink, but they've actually, you know, been a little bit better than they were to start. Judge, so far in May, is batting .324. With four home runs and OPS over 1,200, showing big-time signs. And the three arms lined up, Rodon, Stroman, and Schmidt for this series in Minnesota. Nice little test for the Yankees. Okay, so the Yankees coming off the off day. The Mets are getting ready to play in a little bit here. We'll get back to the Nick and Ranger calls. Sal, you know, they fight, they scrap, they don't hit. I mean, every night, it's like four hits, five hits. Now, it's amplified when Diaz, who just does not look this, now it's okay to say it. He's not the same guy. Doesn't mean he won't be.
Yeah, and that's a problem.
He is not the same guy. What's going on with your Mets here?
Well, he went from being a weapon to now being a problem for the Mets. And there's just like, I don't want to speak for everybody else. I did not expect the Mets to be a playoff team. Okay, so this is just par for the course.
That's two of us.
I'm not going nuts saying, oh my God, how dare you blow that game. However, you have a two-run lead in the ninth inning against the best team in the National League East, arguably the best team in the National League, in the Phillies, and Diaz is on the mound. You got to win that ball game. And it would have been nice two in a row coming off the game that they had on Sunday night with Nimmo home run. Mm-hmm. You just got to win it. It's as simple as that. If you can't win a game where you have a two-run lead with Edwin Diaz on the mound, you're not going to win many games. So that just can't happen. Diaz clearly not the same pitcher that he was in 2022. He's not as bad as he was in 2019. Maybe somewhere in between. That's not good enough for this team because they don't have the margin for error. Now, you mentioned the offense. We talked about this. I said that this was going to be their biggest issue during the course of this year. The reason I don't believe in them is because I don't believe in the bats. The core is going to need to change. The core coming into the year, Lindor, Alonso, Nimmo, McNeil. Two of those guys, one's definitely got to go. The other's probably going to go. And that's McNeil and Alonso. I've been telling you I wanted to trade McNeil for years. He doesn't do anything. And if he's not hitting .320, what does he provide? You did the lineup, before you omitted O'Neal. You know why? McNeil, because he's not in the lineup. He's hitting 230 or around. I think he was 235 going into last night. 230! The guy's strength as a baseball player is his batting average. That's all he does. Big deal, he's versatile. He can play some positions. Who gives a crap? You're a major leaguer. I hope you can catch a ball, whether it's a fly ball in the outfield or a ground ball in the infield. Okay, nice. He can play a little left, play a little right, play some third, play some second. That's fine. You could find a lot of guys who could do that who can hit a lot better than 230. His strength is supposed to be putting the bat on the ball, getting base hits. He's hitting 230. If he were hitting 280, it would be bad. Jeff McNeil's worthless right now. And then for people saying trade him, no, I would have traded him years ago. Trade him for what right now?
How about a nice 5-iron?
You couldn't trade him for a case of Surfside. I'd rather have the Surfside. Yeah, your 5-iron. Like, the 5-iron and the Surfside be more productive.
Unless you drink too many Surfsides and try to hit the 5-iron, then it might be a rough go. But keep going, Seth.
Still might. I'm not trying to knock McNeil, but.
He stinks right now.
Dude.
He's doing nothing.
Come on.
He looks awful.
He's not. He's closer to being out of the major leagues than he is to being the batting champion that he once was.
I can't disagree with that.
Nah, and neither can they. And that's the nicest way to say it.
I thought he was going to bounce back this season. He's atrocious. I really did. I kept saying all winter, I'm like, you know, 295, 302. I think he's going to bounce back. He looks lost.
And it's obviously not just him.
No.
But the other part of that is Alonso. And we heard, you know, it's about the contract and all that stuff. Pete's not getting what he thought he was getting. And the Mets would be idiots to give it to him. He can't be your best player. He's a prodigious home run hitter. He is a great, powerful home run hitter. He's not one of the three or four best hitters on a good team. I'm sorry. He's not. That's
so,
it. I've seen enough.
I agree with basically all of that. So what happens here at the trade deadline? What is your – I know we're not there yet, but what is your philosophy if the Mets are – let's say they're 3-4 games under 500. You know, you win a couple, lose a couple, never drown but never surge enough where they have – you know, where we feel like – and I don't feel like they will, but like the Mets have this great run and, you know, they're a wild card team. I don't think they'll bottom out completely because I think Mendoza's going to have them playing hard. I like him too.
Mendoza's been the best thing about this season. He's legit.
But
he's
what do you do if they're 3 games under 500 in early July? What's the thought about the team?
They're going to have to make the decision, much like Billy Epler did last year. Do you want to chase that wild card spot? Or are you going to say, hey, we aren't it. Let's see what we could get and make it better for, you know, the offseason and then going to next season as putting together a team that can legitimately contend for a playoff spot or for a World Series. So what I would do, I need to see it play out here, but I would think everything would be on the table as far as I'm not going to have emotion or sentimental value with Pete Alonso. If there's a good trade to be had, I'm making it. Now, I don't believe in this Mets team, and I also am not chasing. Like, I know we talked about this in the offseason. You know, would it be a success if they made the postseason? Yeah, that's great. Like, I really don't care about that if the team going into the postseason, I don't believe, can do any damage in the postseason.
Yeah.
So is it better off to make the postseason and get beat in the first round? Because you have hope just because you're in and anything can happen? Or is it better to maximize your return on players that you think are going to be no longer part of your future and build a better team? Suck it up for a half a season, not make the postseason, and build a much better team in the offseason. I probably prefer the latter.
This team is going absolutely nowhere. The roster is horrendous. And this is not, let's turn it into bag on Lindor, but it's hitting 209.
Yeah, I know.
It's 209 again.
But
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Little flicker here.
Then
a 1-for-12 there. Then a little flicker. Like, and I really do like the guy. I respect him. You know, I made a sick play last night. I saw a little one hop backhand. He's a great fielder.
Not going anywhere.
But he's just, here we go again.
Well,
before you know it, it's going to be June 1st, and then Lindor's going to be batting 213.
Yeah,
again.
And that's a major problem.
I've been saying that.
Well, I understand that, but also you're projecting that that's going to be the case where Lindor has put up good seasons the last 2 years with legit numbers at each of those years. Now, if it plays out again the way that it's playing out where he's non-impactful for the first 2 months of the season and the team is buried by the time he gets it going, then that becomes worthless. The problem with him is, what are you doing?
I don't know. Okay. Right now, there's nothing to do.
So you have to learn to live with it.
Yep.
Know that he's a good clubhouse guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, help the younger guys out, could be a good leader. You hope that some production will eventually be there.
Yeah.
But you build around him, you know, or build, I don't know, you can't even say around him, but you build in addition to having him as a piece there.
Yeah.
You cannot, though, run it back with the same core group of guys. You just can't do it and expect a different result.
I mean, look at some of these names. I mean, you know, Thomas Needle, he's never going to hit. Narvaez never going to hit. Wendell never going to hit.
Well, I mean, they're missing Alvarez.
No, 100%. But, you know, listen, I might have to start. I'm not there yet, but I might have to take the L on Beatty. I mean, I've always had his back. I mean, I was watching last night. His at-bats are not even remotely competitive all of a sudden.
Yeah, and this is where we're really going to learn about him. Ugh. Because you could have success once you then fail again.
Yeah.
He's obviously dealt with some adversity throughout his career. But now after tasting a little success,
I know,
you want to see how he handles going through the adversity and come out the other side. And right now, not looking good. I'm not going to make my decision on Beatty just yet. It's still, you know, 2 months in, a month and a half in, whatever it may be. But they've got some issues here. Now, they can be cleaned up in one offseason. The big decisions, McNeil, Alonso, those are going to be the two biggest keys for this team.
877-337.
And by the way, I'm sorry, BT.
Yeah, go for it.
Maybe entertaining the idea of trading Edwin Diaz.
Yeah, I just don't know right now how appealing is he. I mean, if he's lights out dominant, sure.
Well, remember, there's a long way to go. He's had a couple of bad
appearances. His velo's down, Sal.
I understand that, but you don't think Diaz would be worth something on the open market?
100%. Like okay.
So now, the initial conversation when it came up, the Mets might be so bad, you consider trading Diaz. And I was like, well, they're never going to do that. They love Diaz, the show. But he's showing you that closers, even the best of them, can be volatile.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we know how bullpens are. They're fickle year to year. And Diaz is not the same lights-out guy. If you can get something in return, I think everything should be on the table for the Mets at the trade deadline.
I don't know the answer to this, but real quick here. Because this was part of the equation during the winter where we talked about what we thought the Mets would be. And part of the hope was, which would galvanize fans, like, all right, Jet Williams, Acuna. Like, how are these young kids doing? Are they like...
I'm not.
I mean, last night, I know
you're
not
asking?
Like, I know you're minor league guy like Evan and
put it this way,
even me at this point. But I remember checking on some of them, and the numbers weren't incredible. Now it's been
I know Acuna was struggling a little bit.
Yeah.
But put it this way: if those guys were,
I mean, it's supposed to be the future.
Yeah, but I'm not getting caught up in the minor league numbers, and I'll tell you why. Because we've seen guys that come to the show and all of a sudden look far different than they did in the minor leagues. Matt Harvey comes to mind first. He wasn't overhyped
in the minor.
Yeah, but
that was a first-round pick out of North Carolina.
Understood. He wasn't overhyped in the minor leagues. He gets up here in the big leagues and looks like he's the best pitcher in baseball, which he was for a certain period when he first got here, starting the All-Star game the year after. So I'm not worried about their numbers in the minors. We've also seen guys destroy the baseball in the minor leagues.
F-Mart.
Yeah, whatever.
The names.
And then those guys come up here and they fail. So I can't get caught up in that. But if those guys were tearing the cover off the ball in the minor leagues, you'd hear the groundswell from Met fans to get them up here now. It's just not going to happen. At some point,
like last year with those guys who were ripping, every one of them was balling.
I do think at some point you're going to see, whether it's Acuna, whoever, you're going to see somebody come up for Jeff McNeil.
2022, Diaz, 99.1 exit average fastball velocity. This year it's down to 96.9. That's a pretty significant drop. Let me get Nick on Long Island. Nick, what's cooking, buddy? BT and Sal? Nick.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, pal. Thank
you. You were talking earlier about sporting events, how much you want to pay and all. And you said Final Four and a golf major are probably things to spend your money on, which happened to be the two things I did spend my money on.
Oh, okay. So
one was fantastic.
Which Final Four? Which golf major?
One was fantastic. The Final Four. So my daughter's a Nova graduate, graduated 2015.
Oof.
We had talked about, I'm a huge basketball junkie. I said, if they make the Final Four, we're going.
Mm-hmm.
2016, I put my money where my mouth was.
Yep.
We flew out to Houston.
Yeah.
Paid up for the Bucks.
Yeah.
Saw them beat Oklahoma by 40.
They destroyed them. Buddy, I was there. Me and Tiki were there. It's an awesome scene, the Final Four.
Absolutely. And then how could you beat Monday night? Jenkins at the buzzer, right?
Yeah.
I mean, after North Carolina hit that off-balance three to tie it up with a couple of seconds left.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
And by the way, just so Nick, hold on one second, Nick. Just so everybody knows, you know, where that came from. Thanks for the call. I know you spent some more money on the golf, too. Like, we were talking about getting into the Garden for the Rangers, for the Knicks, and just how exorbitant these prices have become. And I brought up, you know, to try to parallel, well, if you reach into your pocket, like in the 80s or 90s, for Cats or Les Mis or Wicked or one of, you know, more recently now, you know, you're guaranteed, you're going to get a good show. Phantom of the Opera, you get a Broadway show. You pay $1,000 to go watch the Knicks tonight and have an awful seat in the process, the Knicks can get rolled by 19. That's the risk that you take.
Yeah, we talked about that with the Rangers last night. Obviously, game five, fans expecting to be excited about you know, going there, seeing a series clinching win, maybe see some handshakes. And then they have that effort in the third period. It's terribly disappointing and a lot of money spent. And by the way, in case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. But that is the point. I mean, as a sports fan, you know, look, the higher the risk, the higher the reward. These games get more expensive in the postseason. Garden right now is on fire. Fans want to be a part of it, whether it's the Knicks or Rangers. You spend a lot of money to go. Yeah, and it's great, the thrill of victory, but the agony of defeat can be so difficult.
Yeah, I mean, supply and demand. Oklahoma City or a smaller market like in Milwaukee when the Bucks won. I mean, come on. We've got 8 million people. Not that 8 million people are vying for Knick tickets, but there's a lot of people.
I think it's cheaper in a lot of ways. You heard Clem of Surfside, CEO of Surfside, talk about it before as being a Sixers guy, and that's why the Knick fans took over. Cheaper to go down there, get a hotel room and tickets to a game than it is to get tickets here. You could probably say the same thing, cheaper to fly to Indiana, buy tickets and a hotel room than it is to go see Game 5 tonight, or Game 7 would be Game 7 at the Garden. Maybe say the same thing for the Rangers and Canes. Cheaper to go to Carolina, buy the tickets for Game 6, stay over there, than it is to get in the building for a game.
You might be right, especially if you have miles for the airfare and just get the tickets in the hotel and a couple of the meals. I don't think you're far off on that, actually. Did it? No, yeah.
You want to go to the game tonight?
You want to play with them. Check out my ex account. This guy's in full uniform. I said it a few times. He's got the white stockings under his Nick White shorts.
I'm ready to go, baby.
So are we. Let's go. I mean, I wish it was. It's better over
here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time? Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
8 o'clock here. What are we doing?
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Charlie Ward inbounding on the right sideline. Top of the key extended. Houston pops out up top. Down the lane. Running jumper! Off the front rim! And in! With 8.8 tenths of a second to go! Houston hits the running jump shot! And the Knicks take the lead!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Now, time for Bald Face Lie, Bald Face Truth with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
Hoff, it is time for Hoff to shine like the star that he sometimes is.
Yes. In the 80s theme song that we picked for this segment, which I love.
I do like that song.
All right, let's lead this off with UBT. You guys are just talking about him, Jeff McNeil. Bald-faced lie or bald-faced truth? Jeff McNeil will be traded before the deadline.
You know, what does he have, 3 years to go? This is the second year of the four-year deal?
Second year of the fourth year. Second year of the 4 years, excuse me.
Gotcha, thank you. So you'd have 2.5 to go. I'm going to say boldface lie. Mm. Not that I wouldn't try to. He's obviously expendable. But if he's hitting 230, nobody's going to want those last 2 years. 2.5 years, actually. So I think probably the better move is to maybe hope that he regenerates. Like at the end of last season, which he did when he started to hit when nobody was watching as much. And maybe get a little value up this winter, maybe, and then trade him. But I'm going to say bald face lie, but not because they're not going
to
try.
I'm going to be biased here, say bald face truth, because I want it to happen so badly. I have wanted it to happen for years. Matter of fact, I used to get crap on the overnight. Oh, why don't you like McNeil, Sal? Why don't you like McNeil? Well, this is why. Because when you're a one-trick pony and you can't even do that trick, you've got a problem on your hands. Like, at least I can live with somebody who's a great defensive player, who could run a little bit, have another skill set. All he does is hit, and he doesn't even do that consistently enough. Proof in that he was a batting champion that's now hitting 230.
I got to defend him real quick.
How?
He drag bunts so well. Did you see that the other day? Did you see that? Set up a big home run by Nimmo.
That's funny, Hoff. I do think the Mets are going to try to trade him. Stearns has shown the ability to make a difficult decision, tough decision. We talked about this, him being emotionless.
Yep.
So he's not going to let that get in the way. And it could be part of a package, part of a bigger package where, hey, we'll give you this, throw in Jeff McNeil, whatever.
That's a good point.
And the Mets also aren't going to be afraid to pay down some of the money if they need to.
Okay.
His contract is not as expensive as some others. So, all right, now on to Sal. Nathaniel, boldface lie, boldface truth. Nathaniel Hackett will not be coaching the Jets in the 2024 playoffs.
That is a boldface lie. He will be coaching the Jets in the postseason. Not because he's going to have earned it, but I do think the Jets are going to be a postseason team this year. It's way early, but I do think the Jets are going to be a postseason team this year. They already tried to make a change. They're not going to fire in midseason.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say that to... Well, I don't remember if it's a lie or the truth, but he's going to be coaching in the postseason.
I agree. So that would make it a bald-faced lie here. Yeah, I don't have much faith in Hackett, especially when the Rodgers is not next to him. But, you know, he did do pretty well with Blake Bortles. I think it's an interesting narrative that is now kind of overtaking some of the accomplishments of Hackett. Again, don't misread me. I wish he wasn't the Jets offensive coordinator. I'm not trying to bury the lead here. I think he was horrendous last year with zero adaptability, and he was so predictable. But the man's resume is okay. And with Rodgers, you'd have to think that he's going to get the job done. Jets have a lot of weapons. I do think they'll be a playoff team. I know it's early. Unkillable, of course, but you're not going to fire him in the middle of a playoff run. Jets will have a very good offense this year.
I'm enjoying,
or at least a good offense.
I am enjoying this Knicks and Rangers run. This has been fun. I'm looking forward to the summer, where we may not be here every day, you know, taking some time off, but I'm looking forward to the summer and the baseball. I can't wait.
That's going to be fun with football.
I can't wait for year two football.
Yeah.
With you, and hopefully we actually have a season this
year. It's going to be good.
Meaning not losing Rodgers week friggin' one. It just didn't ruin everything for us.
No, it took all the starch out of the room. Then you still 3 weeks in, you're like, God, the Giants stink to get shut out 40-0.
No, I want a real football
Dallas.
Season this year. I think we're going to get it.
Well, that was actually my initial question until I changed. I was going to ask, will Aaron Rodgers make more than 5 plays on Monday Night Football? Final one for BT, starting it off, bald-faced lie, bald-faced truth. The New York Knicks and the New York Rangers will both be playing in the Eastern Conference Finals.
It's a bald-faced lie. It's a bald-faced lie. I mean, I know. I hate that I'm saying this. I got to tell you what I feel. It's a really tough one to...
Fans look to you to be the positive one.
Yeah, but I also think that they need to be doused with reality. And it's not...
Well, I try to do that. Sometimes they don't want to hear it.
Yeah, that's true. They didn't want to hear Friday when I was doing it. And I was right, unfortunately. Like, this is not like coming out of left field. I was worried about this when the Knicks were up 2-0 based on the circumstances.
You're the one to lead the regeneration.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. This is going to probably surprise you. I actually think as this day goes on and... Yeah, maybe the heart's getting a little bit away in the way of the head here. I think Jalen Brunson can play really well tonight. Okay. Now, I've said this. If the Knicks lose tonight, series is over. We're not getting back here for Game 7. They're not winning out there. I do think there's a really good chance that they win, and they would still lose Game 6 and then come back for Game 7 and roll the dice. I think the Rangers are in real trouble.
Yeah.
That's right.
I am going to say it is a bald-faced truth. Both will be playing in the conference finals. And
that's what we're talking about, Sal. Some positive.
Trying to curry public support this guy. I like it.
Listen, New York, When you need positivity about your teams, you know where to turn.
Why does he have that? You know the deranged look in his eyes when he does that?
And his voice gets a certain way, too. He puts on
and the veins pop. Like you just barely see the whites of his eyes. And just you look insane.
And here's the thing. I really do believe it. I believe it more so with the Rangers. I think you're nuts for overreacting that the Rangers aren't going to get there.
It's the voice, too. You're right, Huff.
I'm a little worried. You got to do it for a second. Worried about the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Knicks are in a battle here because they're shorthanded. You know, they're 2-2 right now. Rangers just have to win one more game, one of which in dire circumstances would still be at home. They will find a way to win. I believe they're winning in six.
Yeah.
So they will move on to the conference finals. And I think even beyond that, I think the Rangers are still, I'm not going to overreact to one loss.
All right.
The Knicks, I think their season runs out with the next round. But for this round, I think they're going to win tonight. Man, I don't think they're going to win game six.
Okay.
Game seven is going to be up for grabs, but I think ultimately they'll figure out a way, as they've done all year long, to pass the Pacers. And I know I'm kind of going against my deep gut.
I know you are.
Willing myself to believe it.
I don't really believe you're right. I believe you about the Rangers. I don't believe what you're saying that you think what you said about the Knicks.
Well, here's
why. I know what you want.
I thought they would win, and it's not even just about what I want. I thought they would win this series in five from the get-go.
Yep.
Then I saw games one and games two, and I still felt confident more that the Pacers weren't going to be a real threat. Obviously, Anunoby changes things, and Brunson being somewhat compromised changes things, but I think it's easy for us to forget, and I'm trying to train myself too, don't overreact to the beating that we saw in game four.
I'm not, though. I'm reacting to the injuries.
Okay, but if you remove the beating in game four,
yep.
They still won the second half of game two with Brunson coming back, and they very easily could have, and some would say should have, won game three there in their building.
Yep.
So if they do what they did in game three tonight, they will win because they're going to be home. I think that's a big advantage. And then maybe the same can be said about game seven. It's easy to forget coming off of that game four disaster. I don't know any other way to put it. I do think the Knicks figure out a way to get this
done. I appreciate what you're saying. I do believe part of it. I have not abandoned this team. I will go down grasping that last piece of the boat and I'll go down. I'll drown with these guys because they've earned it, right?
You're playing the violin.
Yeah,
on the Titanic.
It's taps. I'm playing taps. I'm playing on the Titanic here. But if I said to you, Sal, all right, the most meaningful allotment of money that you possess, neither the Knicks or the Rangers advance to neither team, one of the two or both. See, to me, the safer bet would be one of the two.
Right.
Which is why I said bald-faced lie to Hop's question.
You don't think both, right?
I don't.
Yeah.
You understand
it.
You really do.
No, I think the safer bet is one. I think the Rangers are getting there. So the real question is the Knicks, and that's going to come down to tonight, a season-defining game
Knicks.
Five tonight.
Let's go.
I do think, ultimately, the league, I just don't think the Pacers are that good. And I think we could see that tonight. Pacers all of a sudden, throwing bricks up there, and maybe the Knicks have a game where they win by double-digit points for a change.
Be nice.
It could happen.
877-337-6666. BT and Sal on the Fan. Back to these calls. By the way, guys, summer means the beach, the sun, hopefully more Knicks and Rangers, the boardwalk, and, of course, summer means hanging out with the Fan.
It's WFAN's kickoff to summer, BT. 2024. Join us at the Jersey Shore in Belmore on Friday, May 24th, when we all go live from DJ's on Ocean Avenue.
Yeah, I've had a chance to do this a couple of years in a row. Sal's going to be out there for the first time. It is awesome. You guys are out there rocking, couple thousand deep. We're all out there. The Fan is taking the shore by storm, as we always do. The entire Boomer and Geo crew, us here with BT and Sal, that it's Evan and Tiki coming up after us as well.
And plus, remember, our friends at Adam and the Metal Hawks going to be on site as well, jamming out, rocking the house, BT. Can't wait for it.
It is a sick way to start the summer. It's awesome. That's the WFAN kickoff the summer, brought to you by the New Jersey Division of Travel and Tourism. Plan your vacation at visitnj.org, Boar's Head, and by Heineken Silver, the official beer of kickoff to summer. Let's get a call here before we get an update. Mikey's up in the Bronx. What's going on, Mike?
What's up, Brandon, Sal?
Hi, Mike.
I got the X factor tonight for the Knicks. Alec Burks, 20 points tonight. We need it.
Yeah, they might, unfortunately. Think about what you just said, though, Mike. A guy who hasn't played in weeks is going to be the key.
Two great games in Indiana.
Man, he didn't have great games. He scored. All right, he scored a little bit. Burks is capable of doing that. But think about what you just said. You got the X factor, the key for tonight. Game 5, 2-2, Knicks Pacers. Sees it on the line. You're talking about the key being Alec Burks, the guy who couldn't get on the floor when guys were healthy.
Well, go ahead.
There's nobody else.
That's why we're worried, Mike.
There's nobody else. You cannot play this guy, Jericho Sims, tonight. You cannot play him.
Well, listen, Mike, let's not overreact to things. Now, I'm not disagreeing necessarily. He's got to play maybe 2, 3, 4 minutes here, depending upon how Hartenstein's shoulder responds from whatever they do to it. But it's not about Jericho Sims playing too much. This is, listen, it boils down to really, I think, two things, and we'll know right away. Number one, is Jalen Brunson healthy? And number two, is Dante cooking? If Brunson's dancing and he's scoring and Dante's cooking, Knicks will win.
If you get the Nova kid, the Nova trio, whatever you want to call them, if they do what they're supposed to do, I think the Knicks are going to win tonight. Now, they need that. I don't know how they survive if even one of those guys doesn't have their A-plus game. But I do think that you're going to get that tonight. I think that's going to lead the Knicks to victory.
All right, hey, we have another hour. We're going to pound these phones. Let's go. BT and Sal, all the fan. Let's get that Nick energy up. Also, some of those Met things I see you guys wanted to react to. 877-337-6666.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time? Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.